Let's take our Bibles and look once again in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 14. I want to begin again with verse 3 that we saw last time and read down to verse 9.
Tikayambira ndime yake chitatuyo monga imene tidalirayo nthawi yambuyomo tikalekeza ndime ya chisanu ndi chinayi.
The last time we considered this woman that was brought to Christ's feet as an evidence of God's grace in her.
Nthawi yambuyomo tidaona kuti mzimayi amene adabweretsedwa nakhala pa mapazi ambuye wathu Yesu Khristu chidali chitsimikizo ndi chisonyezo.
And in Mark 14 and verse 3, we see what she did as the Lord drew her to himself.
We read,
"And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head."
Ndipo pakukhala iye ku Bethania nyumba ya Simoni wakhate, mmene anaziyama kudya, anadzapo mkazi ali nayo supa ya labastero ya mafuta olunkhira bwino anatu weniweni amtengo wapatali. Naso ansupayo nawasanulira pamutu pache.
So we saw last time how this woman, Mary, who was the sister of Martha and Lazarus, brought this very precious ointment to anoint our Lord.
And
as the Lord himself will say here in verse 8, that she was aforehand anointing his body to the bearing. In other words, in view of his death.
Ndipo mungationera mundima yake ya 8 yokunena kuti ambuye tu anasimikizira ichi kunena kuti mzimai uyuyu anachichita ichi kukanenera za thupi lake la ambuye Yesu Khristu kuti anamudzoziratu.
But now in this message, I want us to consider the reaction of those who observed what she did.
Kumano mukhumbudziro wa siku lalero ndimafuna kuti tiyang'ane mmene anthu ena anachirandirira amene amamuona zinthu izi zikuchitika.
It says here in verse 4 of Mark 14, "There were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made?"
Mundimeke ya folo tikuona mmene anthu anali pamene panachionera kunena kuti koma anakhalako ena anavutika mtima mwayiwo mafuta awa atayidwa chifukwa ninji.
To be indignant or to have this indignation within themselves means to be very angry.
Ndiyetu akamalena kudzikonda kumene kuona onesa mwa anthu awo kunena kuti si chaulemu sikumayenera kunena kuti mafuta awawa atchidwe pa thupi la Yesu Khristu sinachoyenera amachita zinthu izi mokwiya kapena mwaukali.
So this is more than just being upset, but they were angry at how Mary had taken this precious ointment and anointed our Lord Jesus Christ. And their thinking was, in verse 5, it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her.
Ndipo mukulingalira kwawo ndiwo anaganiza zone mafuta amene wandodula ndiyamtengo wake akanatha kugulisidwa ndalama zambiri ndikuthandizira anthu osauka ndipereka anadandaula pa mzima iyi.
Now I've entitled this study Enemies of Christ, not Enemies of Mary, but Enemies of Christ.
Ndedu tikamaona za zinthu izi tipeza zonena kuti anthu awa anali adani a Khristu osangokuti adani a Mariya koma adani a Khristu.
Yes, they murmured against her for how the Lord directed her to pour out this precious ointment to anoint the Lord Jesus Christ, but the real object of their disdain was Christ himself. I will say the same thing is true of us today, that the Lord has called out by his grace. There are those who profess to believe in God, and yet they stand opposed to the very Christ that we worship. They are very active in their own religious works, and yet whenever you declare to them salvation in Christ alone for sinners, they become upset. Now, as we saw last time, Mary did this not to be seen of men, but she did it as to how the Spirit of God directed her to anoint our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, as we saw last time, Mary does not even speak a word. Her attention was on the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And the same can be said of us today, that God has called by his grace. We don't do what we do to be seen of men. We do everything for the glory of Christ and what he has done for us. When it says here in verse 4 that there were some that had indignation within themselves, this within themselves means in their hearts. There are many today that we encounter that tell us how much they love Jesus. But the Jesus that they love is one of their own imagination. And the way you find out is to stand up with the Bible and to preach the Lord Jesus as he is in Scripture, and you'll find out just what's in their heart. Today there is a Jesus that men preach, that men love, because it's a Jesus that depends upon them and their will and their decision. But I dare say when you stand up and declare the Lord Jesus Christ as sovereign as determining who he saves and who he doesn't. That's where you will see this indignation.
Ndeno ngati mutayimirira inuyo ndikulalikira Yesu Kristu wa mmalemba amene ndiolamulira zaiwo amene iye anachopanga anabwerera iwo amene anawazankhiratu Mulungu ndi pamene muzasindikire ukali wawo anthu amene akunena kudakhala kuvutika mʼmitima mwawo.
You see, Mary, in pouring out this ointment on our Lord, even though it was precious ointment, she considered the Lord Jesus Christ to be far more worthy than even such expensive ointment could express.
Anathira pa mafuta apathukira ambuye Yesu ndipo Yesu anayang'anira mtengo wake wa mafuta akuma anaona kuenda kuti Yesu Kristo amene ndi amene ali wa mtengo wake woyenera kulandira ulimi wonse.
But they considered it to be a waste.
Kumadwa anthu awa anakhudzika nacho nkumanena kuti mafuta akutayidwa.
You can see from verse 5 what they thought about that. If she had only given them the ointment, then they could have taken it and used it for their purposes.
Now
in verse 5, they said, well, we could have taken this and given it to the poor. But you remember what our Lord said about these in Matthew chapter 6. These were people in Matthew 6 and verse 2. That loved to stand in the public place and give out alms to draw attention to themselves. It says there in Matthew 6 and verse 2, therefore when thou doest thine alms, that means give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, notice, that they may have glory of men.
That's
the reason for their indignation. They sought the glory for themselves and would not have Christ to have the glory. And so they were indignant, coming back to my text here in Mark 14 and verse 4. Now, when you go to John chapter 12 and verses 1 through 8, it tells us that it was specifically Judas who was indignant about this expense. Judas Iscariot.
Mariko chapter 14 verse 4 ija ikuonesedwa sokukula Yohane chapter 12 unena kuti munthu amene ana bini pakati pawo anali Yuda Iscariot.
Look with me in John 12 and verse 6.
Monga mena kuyankhulira buku la Yohane chapter 12 verse 6 utadeni tioneni.
Well, we can start in verse 4 where it says, then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Verse 5, John 12, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?
But now
look at verse 6. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein.
Koma anani na inchi zikifukwa anali kusamalila osauka. Koma chifukwa anali mbala, nipo kukala nalo tumba, amaba zoe kiduamu.
You see how the scriptures judge the very thoughts and intents of men's hearts.
Mukoza kuona mene maremba kufono koze, lakapena kuwa kuyo nesai mioyo ya wakukoyera.
They make a big deal about giving. As they say, give to the Lord, but in reality, they seek the glory for themselves. They seek to enrich themselves. So coming back here to Mark 14, you see in verse 10, after this was all said and done, what's the first thing that Judas did? He went to betray the Lord. You see that in verse 10, Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went into the chief priest to betray him unto them. But now, Judas may have begun this criticism of Mary for, because of the Lord, but he wasn't alone, because it says there in verse 4 of Mark 14, there were some that had indignation within themselves. So there were others besides Judas, but were of the same spirit as Judas. It's interesting that in Mark 14 and verse 4, that word waste, where it says, why was this waste of the ointment made, is actually translated in John 17:12 as perdition. It means to be condemned. In John 17, verse 12, the same word is used in the Greek to translate the word perdition, that Judas was a son of perdition. In other words, Judas himself was a wasted life. And the same thing can be said of any today who make a profession to be serving the Lord Jesus, and yet they serve their own purposes. They serve their own interests. That life is a waste. Works, religion, and men's ways and will do not serve the glory of God.
Repeat the statement, brother.
Men's works and men's wills and their way do not serve the glory of God. And therefore, it is a waste of their entire life and has eternal consequences. You can see the excuse here in Mark 14 and verse 4 is that this money or this perfume could have been taken and sold for money. That's all they think about is money. You and I know very well that such was our life before the Lord taught us the gospel. Much of what we did centered on getting money from people and using that money not only for our own purposes, but to advance our own glory. Look at how works religion organizes their times of worship. Isn't it all around money, collecting money, people paying, gifts and giving? There are preachers that go around from one place to another. They say it's to preach, but in reality, what they're hoping for is a good gift from the people. They want to collect money. So that was their thinking here, how much they could have benefited from this if she had just given them this gift. But again, the reason they were indignant toward her is because they did not value the Lord Jesus Christ. They did not see his worth. This precious ointment that this woman gave Mary, it says here in verse 5, would have sold for more than 300 pence. A pence back in this time would have been what somebody would have paid a laborer for a day's work. And so 300 pence would be 300 days of wages for a laborer. That's an entire year. Now, when you consider that much money being poured out on the head of the Lord Jesus Christ, these that did not love Christ, you can see why they were indignant.
Yesu Christu.
But again, it wasn't because they were necessarily angry at Mary, although they were, but their disdain was for the Lord Jesus Christ alone. There are some today that wonder how it is that we can take what the Lord gives us and use it exclusively for the preaching and exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ in works religion. They say that's a waste. But here's where we see then in verse 6 how the Lord answered their protests. Here we have a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ himself as our substitute. We don't have to answer those that accuse us of the glory that we give to Christ. Christ himself is that answer. You see what he said in verse 6? Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me." You see, with Christ as our substitute, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in him. Not the world, not the devil, and not sinners can ever bring accusation before the Lord of one of his elect. You see, those that are enemies of Christ, they're enemies of his grace. This goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, where God said he would put enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. That enmity is always going to be there. It was there when Cain killed Abel. What was it over? It was over the offering. It was over the sacrifice. Why was that enmity there when that crowd cried, "Crucify him, crucify him," concerning our Lord Jesus Christ? It's because they said, "We will not have this man to reign over us." But here the Lord commends her work, what she did in anointing him. You see, first he said, "Don't trouble her." There are none that can be troubled that for whom the Lord Jesus Christ is their substitute. But here, the Lord is not pointing out her good works. Notice it's in the singular. It says she hath wrought a good work. He's not commending good works. And as I've said before, and I don't know how this translates into Chichewa, but in the English, the word good comes from the word God. So the way to read that is, she hath wrought a God work on me.
And
I will tell you, any sinner that is drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ, that gives him all the glory, that is a God work. In the original Greek language, there are actually two different words that can be used for good, for the word good. One has to do with being morally good, but that's not what he's saying to her here, that she is in herself somehow good. That's not what he's saying. The other word for good that may be used here is the word that means lovely. In other words, it's out of an expression of love. And this is the word that our Lord Jesus Christ uses to describe this work of Mary, that it is lovely. In other words, out of love for him. And then you see the last part of verse 6 where it says, she hath wrought a good work on me. In other words, on my behalf. There is no greater commendation that Christ could ever give of a sinner than to say what he said to this woman here. You notice that even when he said this of her, she spoke not a word. She was silent. You'll notice here in verse 6, when the Lord Jesus spoke this of her, she was silent. She spoke not a word. In other words, she did not take this commendation of Christ to glorify herself. So just as she poured out that ointment on our Lord, even here, in herself, she is thinking that he is the one worthy of all the glory, not her. Now in verse 7, the Lord says, ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always.
Mm-hmm. pamene mukafuna mukhoza kuwachitira zabwino koma ine simuli nane masiku onse.
Now, in Scripture, we learn it is not bad to help the poor. In fact, if we have something that we can give, we're instructed to give to help those that are in need. But we're not to make the focus of our attention, and particularly even as congregations, the feeding of the poor. That's not why the Lord has drawn us together. When the Lord says here in Mark 14:7, "But me ye have not always," he was preparing them for his departure, going to the cross, dying, rising again, and ascending on high. Our purpose in this world is not to go about taking the Lord's money and setting up social programs like so many do, or feeding the poor. That's not why we exist. Our times of gathering together for worship are to be for one purpose, and that is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And how is it that we glorify him? We glorify him in his death. And this is what our Lord commends about this woman in verse 8. She hath done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Again, when the Lord says she hath done what she could, he's not saying that this was from her. This good work was a God work, but she did all that God directed her to do. And what the Lord is commending in this act is that it had in view his death, because it says there, "to anoint my body to the burying." That's why I say this is an act of faith, because faith looks to Christ and him crucified, and that's where she was looking, anticipating his death. How had Mary been instructed concerning the death of the Lord Jesus Christ? He had been teaching them right along with his disciples, and the Lord gave her ears to hear. When our Lord Jesus had said that he would be delivered into the hands of wicked men and scourged and crucified, she heard that. The Lord gave her ears to hear.
Mmene ambuye Yesu amakala mkula pamaso pao pungiraja kunena kuti ndi zaka perekedwa manjamwa anthu ochimwa ndipo kuti azaka ndi pachika ine zimayi uyipo anamva chifamulungu anamsegulira makutu akumva.
I was saying this that the Lord gave her a hearing at this point even more so than with Peter.
Mwenaso ndikozola nkula mawo simbika bwino kunena kuti mulungudo anampasa mtima uyu wakusindikira chinthu ichi mwenaso kuposa Petro.
Remember Peter, when the Lord said that he would be crucified, Peter said, not so, Lord, at that particular point. Even when Peter said he would defend the Lord Jesus to the death, and the Lord said, no, Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. But here was Mary, having heard this instruction concerning Christ's death, that she took this as an occasion to honor him in view of that death. In other words, she was bowing and glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ, anticipating that death. And that because she knew that this was her Savior who would come and pay her sin debt. And if we're any of us that do glorify the Lord Jesus Christ today, it's for that reason, because of that debt that he paid. Is this not the gospel message that Christ has come and laid down his life for sinners that God might be just to justify them? And that's why here in Mark 14 and verse 9, our Lord tied this particular act of faith to the gospel being preached. It says, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Perhaps this is a portion of scripture that we need to keep in mind as we go from place to place preaching the gospel. See, our Lord Jesus Christ was preparing these for his death, his burial, but also his resurrection. And that what this woman did in anointing him in view of that death is the very essence of the gospel. The word gospel there in verse 9 means the good news.
Mawanela wudu tenga, amena wanega mutimega, nay, Mawanela wudu tenga zari, Mawanela wudu tani, Yabino, Gabano tani, Yabino.
There's no good news in telling sinners what they must do to be saved. There's no good news in that because there's nothing the sinner can do. But the good news is in what Christ has done through his life and through his death to save such wretches as we are. But here, when the Lord said that this would be spoken of as a memorial of her, he's not saying it to glorify her in any way. But in memorial of her as an example of God's grace and what that grace does to cause a sinner to love the Lord Jesus Christ and serve him. First John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. We can never get that backwards. We can't say, well, we love him and therefore he loves us. No, we love him because he first loved us. And over in Luke chapter 7 and verse 47, this is a completely different case of another woman, but Luke 7 verse 47 is important. Here it says, verse 47, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, this was this adulterous woman that had come to anoint Christ and wiped his feet, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Notice, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little.
The
more the Spirit of grace teaches us of our need, of our sin, the more we see what Christ has accomplished, the more it draws out of us that love for him.
And
if the Lord has given us this love for his son, it's only because of what the son has done for such as we are. So that's our answer to the enemies of Christ when they question us as to how it is that Christ is all to us. Our answer is because of what he has done for us as sinners.
May
the Lord graciously take this word and draw the hearts of each of his own to himself, even as with this woman.
Amen.
Amen. Gracious Lord God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for being one of those objects of grace, even as you made of Mary, to bring her to Christ's feet, and that she would pour out this precious ointment to anoint him in view of his death. And what a precious ointment we have in the gospel of your blessed Son. Every time that we gather together, we pour it out on the head of our Lord. He is worthy. We're not. And we give you all the praise and honor and glory for your gracious work on behalf of such wretches as we are. And we thank you that you have not left us to ourselves, and that whether anybody else hears or not, the fact that you have given us a hearing is truly a grace from your hand. So we praise you, we glorify you, and may in all things your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, be glorified. And it's in his precious name that I pray. Amen.